everyone. Welcome to Jackie's Quilting Chronicles, episode number 14. First off, I want to thank everybody who listened to my last podcast with Marie Bostwick and her newest novel that she had. Thank you so much for all your emails and your comments. It was fabulous, and I know Marie was just tickled by how many people that she had visiting her website since the podcast was launched. And congratulations to the winner of her newest novel, Lori Becker. She received it, and she was just thrilled to get it, and I'm sure she will enjoy the book. Her books are wonderful. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast or get to know Marie Bostwick, please go back and listen to it. It's episode number 13, and you'll get to learn a little bit about Marie and a little bit about her books. And I'm sure you want to race out or get on Amazon and buy her books soon. Today, though, I have a new special guest with me, somebody who I met years ago, Karen Eckmeyer. For those of you who are not familiar with Karen, she is a wonderful, talented quilt artist. She has beautiful quilts. She usually doesn't do much big quilts. She does a lot of small quilts. She's won multiple awards for her quilts. She lectures and teaches all over the country, so hopefully when she's in your area, you will get to meet up with her. So let's get right into it. Let's welcome Karen, and thank you for being here today, Karen.
Thanks for the invitation, Jackie.
You're welcome. This is going to be fun, and I hope that there's a lot of people that are going to get to know you a little better. So like to start off with getting to know you and how you got into your quilt history, how you got into quilting, and let's start with that first.
Okay, it's an interesting start. I didn't start sewing until I was 30. Not interested in sewing at all, but when I bought my first quilt in Lahaska, Pennsylvania, it's a little place called Peddler's Village, we bought this quilt, and it was a Lone Star. And I totally fell in love with the quilting, just the texture of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, ooh, how am I going to get to the quilting part? I guess I'm going to have to learn how to sew. So I taught myself how to sew so that I could learn to quilt. And that was 22, 23 years ago.
And what were you doing at the time as far as work or...
I was at home mom with my children, mm-hmm. and I was doing pen and ink drawings of houses.
So you were kind of an artist still at the time.
Definitely.
So that kind of really mm-hmm. helped you transition, I bet.
That helped. So I figured if I could draw it, I could sew it. But, of course, I didn't know about quarter-inch seams and things like that. But I learned.
But that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. I think as quilters, we're always learning, though. I know I am.
True.
Always learning new techniques. And my story meeting Karen actually was, and I don't know if you remember this or not, my sister-in-law, Shirley, who lives in New York, took a class of yours. I think you were at their quilt guild, Wiltwick Quilt Guild.
Okay.
And this was years ago. And she had said to me, oh, if you have the opportunity, you've got to take a class with Karen Eckmeyer. And at the time, I think I was the program chair at our guild here. So I got your name from her. Called you and said, would you be interested in coming doing a trunk show / class? And that's how I first met you. And I took your layered waves class.
Yes, I have a picture of you on my website with your purple waves.
You
on the
do,
floor.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, could you talk to us about, obviously, some of the techniques that you teach? You've really expanded a lot of your techniques, but I think one of the first ones probably was your layered waves.
Actually, yeah, that I started with for many years. Well, I taught myself how to sew. The Amish quilts kind of were my inspiration, and so I did a lot of piecing. I loved, curved piecing. Sorry. And after about 10 years of doing very intensive curved piecing, I thought, gosh, there's got to be an easier way to do this. And that's when I started, cutting a wild curve, ironing the edge under, and then top stitching in about that eighth of an inch in to get the extra texture. So I was doing these, what I called layered curves or top stitch curves, layered waves, and just having fun with those. And after I taught them for a while, all of a sudden we were seeing these little landscapes appear. And so then I went in the direction of the little landscapes and then one project wasn't working out, and I didn't want to throw the fabrics away, and they were like these little step shapes, and they weren't turned under, And then my little happy villages appeared. I mean, basically everything I do is an accident.
And it evolves from
there. It evolves from there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then recently I've been doing, working more in a circular mandala kind of kaleidoscope format. Not that I'm going to leave my layered waves or happy villages behind, but it's just little side detours that I have fun doing one thing, and then I come back to do another,
which
what I'll be doing in next year and 5 years.
And I have to say, and I don't know that Karen will toot her own horn, but I will for her. She just won at AQS Paducah, correct? Was it the wall quilt?
Yeah,
division?
Wall quilt. Home sewing machine.
Home sewing machine.
I love that term.
If any of you get the AQS magazine or an AQS member, it'll be in your brand new issue, because I just got it last, probably like 2 days ago or so.
Oh.
And I saw it, her quilt, and her picture is in there too. It won first place.
Right.
And it's absolutely beautiful. What is the name of that quilt?
It's called Busy Bees and Friends, inspired by my garden, all the creatures that visit,
hummingbirds. And it's absolutely beautiful. Can you tell us, this is one of the things that I love about your quilts and your techniques too. You do a lot of embellishment on your quilts. You did quite a bit on this quilt as well.
I guess I did.
Can you tell us like some of the things that you did?
On this one, well, I hadn't planned on it. Originally, the edges were going to be raw with a layer of tulle like I usually do my happy villages. Well, this one, I couldn't find just the right color tulle, and I didn't like the idea of the edges fraying.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second? When you say tulle,
that? It's a very fine netting, you know, like the wedding veils or the ballerina tutus.
And it's not spelled T-O-O-L.
It's spelled T-U-L-L-E.
Okay, just for those of you who are listening who want to know what she's talking about, that is exactly what she's talking about.
Right, it comes in every color you can imagine, and it's not expensive.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem. Well, since it didn't work for that particular quilt, for this one, I knew I wanted the edges to be very, very tidy and neat because the judges don't like messy things. So I outlined every edge or couched each edge with fine chenille and pearl cotton. Right. And I think I used some Swarovski crystals. I did beading and lots of quilting.
You do a lot of beading. I love that.
Yeah, I guess there's a fair share.
Yeah.
And I love the quilting part because I'm a doodler at heart.
Yeah.
I just love to draw.
And your quilting is beautiful on your quilts. Oh, I mean, you do a fantastic job.
That's the part I like a lot. I really call myself more of a doodler, and it's just quilting's just a chance to doodle with thread.
So as far as like some of the techniques and things that you use and tools that you use on tools being T-O-O-L-S, right. I think it would be of interest to a lot of listeners, like what types of threads you use, what types of embellishment, what types of batting, what types of fabric. I mean, can you kind of enlighten us as to, you know, what is your thought process and what are some of those things that you do use?
Yeah, I guess I don't use a lot of different tools. I'm basic as far as thread. If it's the right color, I'll use it. I tend to love the rayons and the variegated cottons. I just love those. My little machine and I don't use metallics too much, but I do paint a lot of my own fabrics, so they have metallic in them. So that's how I get my shimmer that way. The quilt that won first place in Paducah, I learned to use the heirloom black batting for that because I'd done two others. And I hadn't used the black batting, and I just kicking myself because the white batting was bearing
migrating,
up. Because I usually use Fairfield Soft Touch for 100% cotton because it's nice and flat for wall quilts. I wouldn't use it for a bed quilt, but I like that. And
well, this quilt, too, also had a primarily black background.
Yes, and
so
I think that's that Amish influence coming in through,
Or
in the MOLA, South and North American art that I've been influenced by lately. And, I just have a basic Bernina 1031 machine. I don't have a fancy machine, so I just kind of use the basics and nothing fancy.
Yeah, but it works. What you use works.
Yeah, I guess I try to keep it simple, although people would look at my quilts and say they're not simple.
They're very complex. Well, you said to me earlier, before we started doing the podcast, I had asked you how long it took you to make the quilt that you want. And can you tell us how large the quilt is and then how long it actually took you to
right.
make.
Right. That quilt, that's about the largest I work now. I mean, I've certainly made king size mm-hmm. and queen size quilts, but that one is 43 by 43.
So it's not real big.
No. And it, because it fits on my design wall mm-hmm. and I can do it on my home sewing
mm-hmm.
machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally forgot where we were going with
this. What did I say? The size of it. Oh, isn't that terrible?
Isn't that awful?
The size. It's okay. It's like the senior moment. No, the size of it and the embellishments. Didn't I say embellishments? Oh my God, this is terrible. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll just take another turn.
There we go.
It happens all the time. My kids say, it's just because you're getting older, Mom.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Isn't
no,
that terrible?
I won't accept that.
No, I know. I'm not getting older. They're getting older, but I'm standing still. Anyway, some of the techniques that you used, I think, was one of the for this particular one, did you fuse? What did you do?
Oh, and then the time frame.
And the time frame. That's right. Yes, that's right. There you go.
This particular one, it took... Because I worked on several quilts at the same time, took me 7 months to make.
So, yeah.
But the last month was, covering all those edges. But mm-hmm. I do it pretty labor intensive because I'm in my studio every day. I get up, my husband leaves for work, mm-hmm. and so I start the day at 7:30 in the studio.
Sounds just like me.
End up at maybe 5. Oh, my goodness, I have to make dinner.
Sounds just like me.
Yeah. But other quilts, I can do that same size, and I can have it done in 2 weeks or a mm-hmm. month. I mean, nobody gets fed, and the house
but
is messy.
Did you know that this one you wanted to make to go into a show? Was that original intent?
It was one that had to come out of me. It was one I was really committed to. Otherwise, I would have thrown it away many times, because I stopped and started it at least 5 times.
Okay.
My husband says, is this really worth it? As I'm ripping stuff. Mm-hmm. out at night.
But you know what? Sometimes I think find those ones in the end are the most satisfying ones.
The love-hate relationships with the quilts. Yes. The ones I hate the most during a process.
You tend to love at the end.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that is true.
This little relationship thing.
But now, when you've entered many quilts into shows. I mean, I've seen them. I've seen them in Houston, obviously AQS. When you enter a quilt into a show, what for our listeners, if they're thinking of ever possibly doing that, what are some of the things that they should look for or be conscientious of because people always say, well, what are the judges going to say? What are some of the things that they should really look out for?
The biggest thing is to make sure that the digital that you submit is totally high quality. It's got to be professional, mm-hmm. no fingers showing. I mean, it's got to be really... high class as far as that, and it should show that you loved making it, and you know when you make a piece like that. It should have a story behind it, and you should be really proud of that quilt, and the judges will notice. I mean, the love that you put into it, people will see that, and the judges will see that, and the best possible workmanship, no matter what the technique is, mm-hmm. it has to come through.
I think that's important. I think you got to like what you're doing, and you're right, and it does show.
Yeah, if you just make a quilt, I don't ever make something just for a show because mm-hmm. It sounds selfish, but I have to make it for me.
Right.
And if I like it, then...
Then chances are everybody else is going to.
It's
going to
hit somebody else, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I would say that's the biggest. Don't make it just for a show. It should be for you.
Yeah. Now... For those of you who are wondering what Karen's work looks like, too, and I'm toying with the idea of doing another enhanced podcast and putting some pictures so you'll be able to see. But if you really want to go see things initially, too, she has a website. Karen is an active pattern designer. She's got some books and patterns out there. She's got a wonderful gallery you can sort through. And her website is KarenEckmeyer.com, and it's KaRen. EckMeyer.com. So make sure you get onto her website and even send her a little email saying that, you heard her on the podcast.
That'd be great.
And you're browsing through her stuff. You have one of the things when I first years ago went on your website and saw that I was just astounded by was your liturgical.
Oh.
gallery that you made for one of the local churches here, correct?
Actually, it was one in Bedford, New York, then it was Medfield, and there's two in Massachusetts that I've
done really?
For.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so yeah, they've really got to go through that gallery and see some of that stuff.
And
that's neat. Now, we were talking, we're going to backtrack just a little bit.
Sure.
We were talking about your layered waves and your accidental landscapes and your happy villages, and now your quilts are a little bit, they've evolved into something different. These are brand new, really.
Yeah, a little side
excursion.
You've
got the patterns out. And can you tell us a little bit about this new technique that you're doing and what these quilts kind of look like?
Yeah, I guess it's not so much of a technique. This particular one is a format. I call it Circle of Friends. Mm-hmm. And it's inspired originally more by Mola designs, the Kuna Indians.
I love
from Panama.
Molas.
Yeah.
I have molas.
Against black. Yeah. And the idea of picking out what I call flora, fauna, and critters. So the first one was called Turquoise Turtles and Friends. And so I just picked out critters that I like.
That's this one. I have the pattern in my hand that it is absolutely just really whimsical, lovely.
Yeah,
I love it.
I always say when I look at a quilt, if it's one that I want to submit to a show or something, does it make me smile? Does it make my heart sing? Mm-hmm. And if it does, and so this next group, I said, I don't want to make anything that doesn't make me smile, and I want to make other people happy too. Mm-hmm. So the whole series, whether it's the larger pieces, large for me being 43 by 43, or the little pieces that are 25 by 25, are, you know, they start, whether it's Goofy Ghosts and Friends, it start with one main character, and then I add their other friends, and they kind of basically join a kaleidoscope of, they're all fused, kind of a kaleidoscope.
And they almost remind me of, and I know you're using the word kaleidoscope as well, but one interesting thing that I noticed too, and they kind of reminds me of, I guess if it were like a snowflake or like Hawaiian quilting.
Oh, yes.
Because it, one quarter of it looks like, if you repeated that quarter of it three more times, you'd have that whole design. Mm-hmm. So in Hawaiian quilting, isn't that what they normally do? It's like a quarter of the design or like a snowflake. If you folded it into the little triangles, cut it out. They kind of look like that in a way.
Depends.
And it's really quite but these are totally, I mean, you have to look at these. You have to go on the website and take a peek at these. They're absolutely really individual. They're totally different than Hawaiian quilting, totally different than, you know, a snowflake.
They're different. And they're for so many years I said I refuse to fuse. And so this is the one time that only the small ones and the patterns, they're fused just to keep it simple. But if you wanted to do them hand applique or satin stitch machine, satin
stitching,
you can do
that as well.
You can do it any way you like.
Now, this is a good question for you. For those of you out there that fuse. Now, there was a product that came out a couple years ago, Misty Fuse.
Right.
And I actually saw it demoed again just this past weekend, and I really like the feel of that.
I do too.
Because it's got a nice drape to it.
A
very soft touch.
Yeah.
Unlike some other products out there, when you fuse, what products do you prefer to use?
Hmm. I have tried the Misty Fuse. I did it on one of my larger pieces, the Mountain Moose, and I had trouble. It wasn't sticking that well.
Mm-hmm.
So then I switched to, for these smaller pieces, because I really don't fuse that much. Mm-hmm. So I don't like it. It's not lofty enough for me. But I use the Hot Heat and Bond light because it sticks well.
Okay.
I've had trouble with
some of
the... And
how does that feel?
It feels okay.
Is that like this? Is that also like the Steam light? Is it similar or no?
I think it is similar.
Okay.
But then again, it's not something I usually do.
Right.
My layered curves and the others, I just use not the layered curves, but Happy Villages and just a dab of glue so that I don't have that stiffness behind.
Right. No, one of the other things that I found interesting when I took the class, I took your Happy Villages class by the way.
That's right.
And but one of the neat things that I find about some of your pieces obviously is that your personal pieces that you have, you do beading on them. And I think I asked you this previously because I really like the way it looks on there. It kind of gives the piece a little more depth, a little texture, and it shimmers.
Yeah.
But if somebody has not beaded a quilt before, couple questions for you, and I'm not going to forget this time. Couple questions, right? Couple questions. Do you bead before you quilt it? Do you bead after you quilt it? And when you do bead, what kind of thread do you use through the beads?
Oh yeah. Well, first off, I wait till after the quilting to bead it because I hand bead them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the beads would get in the way when you quilt.
When you quilt, right?
And I think the name of the it's a waxed. I want to say nylon. It's a silamide, I believe.
That's right. Yes,
so
it is.
So it's a nice, nice, strong, and it comes in different colors. So
silamide, and I think it's S-I-L-I-M-I-D. So
like
if somebody
sounds.
Googles that, they'll probably come up with that.
I really like that. I have used on occasions, they call it fishing line.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a gray, smoky, but I like the other. It's easier to work with, and I like matching the color.
And
colors.
What kind of needles do you use to bead?
I like the 10 sharp.
Really?
I actually use those when I quilt. I find that the long beading needles are almost
too long,
and I bend them right away.
So do you load up when you do you load one or two beads on at a time, or depends on what you're doing?
It depends on what I'm doing.
Okay. And where could people find beads? Can they get them, you know, at any local, like even Michael's or AC Moore, like any hobby type store?
Yeah, but a beach shop is always the best place.
Oh yeah, what are some of the types of beads that you like to use? I know that there's all kinds, seed beads and
I get a mixture. There's a place called embellishmentvillage.com.
Oh yes,
and she supplied me with a great. Oh, I can't imagine all the type of the combination in these packages. And she at one point was making these bead packages to go with my accidental landscape.
Oh, nice. So she was
everything.
Actually, when somebody was purchasing a pattern, they had the beads there?
Yeah. So I wouldn't even begin to know the different names and sizes. Everything is good.
Yeah.
And yarns.
Yeah. Now, I had from my listeners, I had gotten a lot of emails last time, and actually probably previous, we were talking about, I wanted to find out from my listeners things that they'd be interested in hearing. And one of the biggest things they're interested in hearing is from designers. And I consider you a designer because you are making your own designs and you are publishing them in patterns and books. Can you kind of tell us what your process, like what your thought process is before you get it down on the paper, and then once you get it on the paper, you do all your own publishing too, correct?
Right, that's
true. So a lot of people out there are thinking that they need to, you know, if they're publishing, they need to go to somebody else to do it, but you can do it on your own.
Yeah, helps to have a husband that learns computer in design and things like that. That keeps the cost down and all. But the whole process, that's a big question, Jackie.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody commissions you to do something or if I decide to do a pattern or whatever, it takes me a month of just sitting there thinking about the idea and then maybe another month of drawing things out and then writing it out.
Do you do it all on your computer? Do you do it on paper?
Kind of a combination. I like to start with pencil and paper first, and then I'll start working on the computer. But drawing I do. None of that's on the computer. I haven't figured out how to do that yet.
Yeah. Well, because your designs are not...
They're not really conducive to that.
No, they're not.
Most of it's free form.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people who use, like, electric quilt, they wouldn't be... I mean...
It's true. All my stuff, it looks like it's drawn, and I think that's the charm of it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't apply so
much. Yeah.
No straight lines.
No, I was going to say... Well, and you do your own publishing. I have to say that... It looks like, I mean, the way you publish your patterns and you publish your books, it almost looks like you've gone to, you know. They look like if you were at a C&T publishing or something like that, you've perfected how, I mean, you really have. I like how you did it. And I don't know if that's part of, you know, the growing process and how you're learning to do
well,
it.
I wanted it to look like. It was, you know, it wasn't self-published, so I wanted to make sure it had the UV coating and that it looked professional. And they're printed in the United States up in Hooksett, New Hampshire.
Okay, so you do have them printed out, you know, outside of the state. So that's...
Here in the States.
Well, no, I mean outside of our state.
Oh,
our state, not
Connecticut.
We have, by the way, Karen and I don't live very far from each other, just in case you're wondering. So that's why I said I thought maybe you were printing them. I thought maybe you were doing the actual, you know, printing around near where you live.
The books get printed in New Hampshire, but as far as the patterns, they get New Milford, Connecticut.
Oh, okay. So that's really close by. Yes, so you really can keep a close eye on how the things go. Yeah. And you do a lot of shipping and stuff. People order directly from you as well,
they
right?
can order from my online. Yes, I have a fulfillment center that if you go to my website, they fulfill the order. So you don't, if you want to talk to me directly, you can call me and I can fill an order. Yeah. But yeah, my website fills the order.
Yeah, because you were also doing, weren't you doing for a while, you were doing it yourself?
I was. Yeah. And I couldn't, it's 24/7, and if you're away for a day or two, then that's not fair to somebody that wants something away.
Right.
So now
it's true.
I'm there 24/7 when
nice.
I'm not.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking earlier about, and how I mentioned also that Karen, you do travel, you teach around the country, you go to guilds, you go to quilt shows. And you were telling me where you just got back from and also some of the places you're going to be going to. Can you tell the listeners where you're going to be? So if they really want to, you know, come see you take a class.
You bet. Yeah, and actually I've started an email list that that I'm kind of a quarterly update. So if you want to know where I'm teaching, because I don't put it on the website, it changes so much. But I just got back from Charlotte, North Carolina. Going to go to New Hampshire next week and California after that and Maine. Be in Houston this fall. But again, just email me and I'll send you the list. And maybe I'll, you know, a lot of times I'm in Connecticut and Massachusetts and things like that happen spur of the moment. So as long as I'm updating you, you can tell where I am.
Right. I mean, and I think you've been at our guild several times.
It's true.
And we both just looked around because my cat just went crazy on us. as you can tell, we're doing it out of my house. So, but you've come to our guild several times and, you do a really wonderful lecture and a nice trunk show.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody, is listening who is from the area.
Yeah, as long as it's close by,
yes,
I'll do the
Karen,
trunk show.
Karen will come and do a lecture and trunk show at your guild. But you got to get in touch with her and make sure it's conducive to her schedule. Because, you know, she's going to all these other wonderful places, too. What I also wanted to know and I wanted to touch on was your studio. Now, recently you had an article in The Professional Quilter.
That's right.
And you have a nice little studio, very nice and tidy.
Kind of
unlike mine, not so nice and tidy.
Depends when you look.
True, I suppose. But can you tell us about your studio and how it's kind of organized? Because I know a lot of people, you know, there's a lot going out there on the internet about people asking questions.
Yeah.
How do I organize my studio to be most productive?
Right.
You know, what do you like best about your studio, too?
Okay.
So, can you?
Yeah, when I moved to Connecticut, I moved from a studio in New York where I had the whole entire living room, and then I scaled down to basically it's a bedroom size, so I had to get a lot more efficient with my space.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I said, okay, went to Home Depot. I have these great pull-out bins for my fabric. That's where I store those. And then I figured, well, I can't have my ironing board, I need, you know, to be more efficient with that. So I have the big board that sits on top of my fabric bin. So that's
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good use of space.
Mm-hmm.
And then put my other studio, the cutting area was right
wait,
in the
wait,
middle.
Wait, your other, oh, this was in New York.
In New
I'm
York.
Like, what other studio?
What other studio?
Just
how
got
many
another
does
one
she
we
have? I had that in the middle of the, you know, the living room.
Yeah.
So this, I have it, you know, in the corner, and it's, I can get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now if I need to baste or something, I'll bring in an extra table or two to do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my shipping department, which I'll put in quote unquote, is in my closet. It makes it nice and efficient where I can close the doors and all. It just made me, you know, I like having a smaller studio because the bigger you have, the more stuff
you put in
it.
Yeah, we know that.
But I have to admit that I do, next to my studio, I have a place where I can paint fabric and do messy things. And I have an extra storage place in the basement for my patterns and books. So it's not like I have everything.
Yeah, you don't have everything
there.
In there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice having my sewing machine next to the computer. So if you email me, I hear
you
right away.
Yeah.
And I'll be there in a second. I might scare you that I answer
That's
so
It's funny because that's the way I am. My computer is up there, and I'll hear the, you know, I'll say, oh, so got an answer, somebody. Yeah, so that's nice and convenient. Yeah. Interesting question for you. A lot of people always wonder, like, fabric selection, what kind of fabrics do you use, and how do you go about selecting your fabrics? Do you use, like, mostly textures, prints? What do you use?
Because I've gotten into painting my own mm-hmm. fabrics, I don't dye them, I paint mm-hmm. them. I buy fabrics that look like that maybe I painted them. Mm-hmm. It should go with it. So I don't tend to buy real loud prints and that kind of thing. I buy modeled texture, pattern, tone on tone kind of fabrics mm-hmm. that play well with mm-hmm. mine. So mm-hmm. that's more what I look for. And people always make fun. My stash is not large.
No, your stash isn't large.
It's very tiny.
But you use small pieces, though. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So I used to only buy quarter yard cuts, and now I've graduated to half yard cuts.
Uh-oh.
But I have a variety of things. Yeah. I love scrap quilts and a variety of that of fabrics. Yeah. So.
And your quilts, your quilts are very vibrant. I think most of your quilts that I've seen the colors are pretty vibrant, with the exception, I think, of one in my mind that I'm thinking of, one of the Happy Villages ones. You did a black and white gray,
yeah. uh-huh.
which was very nice. I like that one.
Uh-huh.
But for most part, most of your colors are very saturated colors, I think.
Could be. If anybody, I shouldn't really tell this to your listening audience, but at the dye doctor's office, I don't pass the color test, so I really work by value, so I think my quilts are vibrant because I make sure that I have a range of lights to darks,
nice.
And I might throw in a green in a black quilt, not knowing that it's not black.
Right.
I've had that happen.
Right, and it works, though.
It seems to work. Except that's recently I gave my friend, she was making a sample for mm-hmm. me, and I gave her fabric to make a mousse, and she said, "You gave me green fabric
for a mousse.
It's not going to work."
It was a mousse who ate too much guacamole,
there you go.
Right?
But now, so value's the key.
Right. Now, do you use batiks as well?
I do. If they're modeled, it can't be too graphic too pattern. Yeah.
Because that might mess up whatever mm-hmm. you're doing.
Yeah, but if I cut it, if it's a lot of times, well, with the accidental landscapes and mm-hmm. the layered ways that
Which
you've
is,
done, you
yeah.
only see like maybe a half an inch. So
yeah.
sometimes it's nice to have a big print and you just or
it's
a
true.
K-facet,
it's true.
And you'll just see a little bit of it, which is great.
Now you've also worked into some of your quilts, in fact, into the Happy Villages photos.
Yes, the one, the black and white.
The black
you
and
mentioned.
White one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has three different photos, and I've a lot of my trips. How do I commemorate a trip? And I'll put my pictures into
nice
the village.
Nice way to do it.
And you're actually making a Happy Village on my website too. You can see Jackie under
that's right.
two of
I'm
my
like,
student
I am?
Galleries.
Yes, I am. That's right. I am. I'm still. It's funny because when I went on your website probably a few months ago, and I do go on your website to see what's going on
uh-huh.
and what's new. I looked to see if my picture was still there, and
oh,
it
you
is.
Bet, of
it
course.
Is. I did purple. If you go into her gallery, It's purple. They're purple waves. I'm probably on the floor,
You're on
I
the
think.
Floor on
I'm
your
sitting
knees,
on the
I think.
Floor laying it out on my knees. So
mm-hmm.
you can catch me there. And I'm probably wearing some old sweater that I don't have anymore because I think it was the winter time, right? So you can check me out making one of her layered waves.
Yeah. And then we were at Gone Quilting.
With the Happy Villages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The local quilt shop here, a friend of mine had owned. We had Karen, you actually came to
a
do
lot.
Several classes.
Yeah.
You did an accidental landscape. She did Happy Villages.
You
did
waves. Yeah.
And I think you might have done a couple repeats.
Yeah.
Yeah, a
mm-hmm.
couple repeats. So it was nice to have Karen local because she could come in and do
yeah,
some
I miss
classes.
That.
I do too.
Yeah.
That was nice. So if you do get a chance to see Karen at all, jump at the chance. It's a fun class. And by the way, your Happy Villages class was a no-sew class, so you didn't even need a
Right, the
sewing
only
machine.
Sewing we're doing is at the quilting it's, end
right,
stage, and
right.
that we did at home.
So that was that was a neat class to take. You didn't need to bring a sewing machine
right.
for
yeah,
that.
That's fun.
Are any of your other quilts that way? I know the layered waves is not. You need your sewing machine for
right.
that.
The only one is a new one. The Colorific Quilters, the new pattern,
yeah.
Would be a no-sew class.
Sew.
You just come and infuse.
And is that,
and
is that
like
a current
silly.
Class that you're teaching?
It's well? Yeah, it's new for this this year.
So at any of the upcoming places, the venues that you're going to be at, are you teaching a variety of your classes or are you just teaching your new class?
Oh, no, but variety.
Variety.
Yeah,
so
like at Maine,
you,
they I'll
have
be teaching
choices.
Three or four classes
okay.
in Maine in August, I believe it
okay.
is.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, that'll be excellent. Well, I wanted to tell you all, too, Karen so generously came over. First, I have to say, she made me this beautiful little postcard that I am going to take a photo of, and I am going to put it on my blog so you can see. It's a layered waves kind of postcard.
It's actually from the original Positive Energy 4 that's in the book.
And that's a beautiful quilt. That's a beautiful quilt. She used her, you know, her different color thread she's got in here. And she also put some crystals on it, too. So she did a little embellishing, and it's a beautiful little postcard. And I'm going to take a picture so that the listeners can see it on my blog. But she also came so generously. I have to tell you all, there is going to be a giveaway. So after you listen to my podcast, run over to my blog, because I will put up a post. Karen brought over 3 of her books and 3 of her patterns to give away, and I'm going to give it away, and there's going to be a first, a second, and a third winner, and each one will get a book and a pattern. So I'll tell you what we've got here. She's got her 3 books, her Happy Villages book, her Accidental Landscape books, and her Layered Waves book. And then we've got 3 patterns. They're all from your new series.
Brand new.
The one she was talking about, the very first one she talked about, was the Turquoise Turtles. That's the number 1 in the Circle of Friends series. And that's just adorable for anybody who is a lover of the oceans, too. That's a great one. Then we've got a number 4 in the series is the...
The quilters. The
quilters. Yeah, colorific quilters. They are so adorable. I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 quilters, and there's needles in between them, and there's spools of thread. That's really cute. I like that a lot. So there's that one. And then we've got Silly Snowman, and that's number 8 in her series. And this is a wonderful one to hang around the holidays. And not even, it doesn't even have to be. It's not even holiday. You know, I mean, it could be just winter. All winter long. And, you know, here in New England, we have those.
We've got that long enough.
Long winters. This can hang for like 7 months, ladies.
That's true.
So anyway, so these are all going to be up on the blog. And they will probably hold the giveaway open for a week so you can, leave your comments. And then I'll draw a winner at the end of the week. And the dates will be on, and the rules for the giveaway will be on there. And I thank you so much for bringing these. This is going to be fun. I think they're really going to love some of these. I have to tell you from my own experiences with Karen, the Layered Waves is absolutely fun. And it probably was one of my most freeing experiences.
No mistakes
with quilting. So you can be a beginner do this. Exactly. And it's, you know, kind of neat. And the Happy Villages I did with you was fun, too. I was like, wow, I don't have to bring a sewing machine. And we just sat and we cut out, you know, all these little, they look like little steps and stuff. But by the time you're done, it looks like a little village. It's wonderful. So if you do get the opportunity, please make sure you go to her website first, KarenEckmeyer.com, KarenEckmeyer.com. Go check her out there. Send her a little email. Say hi. Say, I heard you on the podcast.
That'd be great.
And definitely browse through all her galleries. She's got tons and tons of great stuff there, and her patterns and her books. And then come to my blog, cvquiltworks.com. Or that's my website, sorry. My blog is cvquiltworks.blogspot.com. The giveaway will be on there. And sorry for the grandfather clock dinging in the background there. But definitely come to my blog to enter for the giveaway. We'll have 3 lucky winners of her books and patterns. And she autographed them, by the way.
You bet.
So they are all autographed for you. So these are one-of-a-kind books you'll have in your collection. And... you know, I'm going to ask you if there's anything else you'd like to add before we sign off, if there's anything you'd like our listeners to know that they should know.
Oh, I can't think of anything. It was just such a treat to be able to do this, and I just had a good time.
I did too, and I think that they're going to love you, Karen, and I think you'll end up with some people showing up at your classes saying, you know, I heard you.
That'll be
great. I found out about you through the podcast. I hope so.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
So, great. So anyway, well, that then we'll finish out for today. And I'm glad you all came back and listened to the podcast with Karen. And please... definitely go to her website. Go to my blog, enter that drawing. And until next time, happy quilting, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.